Welcome to Black Belt Selling with Stephanie and Anna Scheller. I'm Anna.
And I'm Stephanie.
And we are a mother-daughter team who are passionate about taking you to the next level to grow your income through sales training and coaching. On Black Belt Selling, we share content and interview experts to help you kick through those obstacles that are keeping you from reaching the next level. You can learn more about us by joining our Facebook group, www.facebook.com/groups/Black Belt Selling. And Stephanie, I'm actually very excited about the topic today because I think that this is one of the biggest obstacles people face when they head into a sale. And it's when no really means no. I'm not going to do anything.
Uh-huh. And that's a, you know, what do you do? That's what everyone is the most scared of, I think. That's why you get people who fight the idea of making cold calls. You get people who fight the idea of running appointments. They don't want people to say no because for some reason they think that it has some sort of reflection on them as a person. And if you're that kind of person, I want to encourage you, go to blogtalkradio.com/blackbeltselling and look up some of our prior podcasts. You really want to go listen to the one we did last week on when no means, or when what to say when you get a no, because that was the start of this little series, and it's really going to help you get your head in the right place for handling when no means no. But, you know, Mom, what's the first step? We've got really five steps here for people to follow, make it nice, short, and easy for you guys. So, Mom, what is the first step? When you hear someone say no, what's your first instinct? You're as a sales trainer, obviously, and now that you've rewritten your mindset, what's your first instinct for how to handle that?
Well, you want to concisely state four things. You want to concisely state what the customer's wishes or issues are, what the company's solution is, your solution, obviously, to their wish or need, the reason the buyer has said he's not taking action, and the consequences of not taking action. So let's kind of go into those a little deeper. Again, when that happens, obviously, there's some rapport broken. And by telling the customer, in your own words, what they want and what their issue is, you're helping them to know that you understand what's holding them back, right?
Yeah, well, you know, for a lot of people, anytime you start trying to explain something to them, their mind kind of shuts down, right? This is like when I go to my husband and say, but Matt, you're going to love this tomato. This is the sweetest tomato you've ever tasted. It's an amazing tomato. And I'm telling him all the reasons he's going to love the tomato. Well, those of you who don't know my husband, tomatoes are probably like his least favorite food. And so he just kind of looks at me blankly because he's like, did you not hear me the first time, Steph? I don't like tomatoes. I've never liked tomato. It's not the flavor. It's the consistency. So when I go in and I'm telling him all these reasons why he's going to love this tomato, it doesn't irritate him. He just kind of laughs at me. But he doesn't listen either because I didn't listen to him first. So you've got to make sure they understand you heard them. You understood their issue, their concern, and you're trying to show them why it's not a problem. So first step, you have to reiterate to them. Get on the same page with them. Step number one. Step number two, Mom.
Well, step number two is to share again the company's solution. What I liken this to, Stephanie, is when we have to tell our kids to do something. Now, it would be nice if when you were younger, you would have done what I said the first time I asked you to or told you to. But the fact of the matter is, it didn't sink in the first time, and it may not have sunk in the second time. Sometimes I have to tell my children again and again, like I only had to do it occasionally with you, of course.
Of course.
But You were what?
I said I always listen the first time.
Right. Okay. Getting back to the company solution here. We have to tell them again, because sometimes people have to hear things several times. And as we said in last week's episode, the buyer needs to hear things at least four or five times. They're not going to say yes the first time around. And so you want to share with them the issue that they have and the solution that you offered. You know, Mr. Prospect, you were telling me that you're not ready to move forward because this is your busy season, and your concern is that training your sales reps on a new product in mid-season creates a challenge. Now, I also had offered that we can provide online training plus 24-hour support for your reps in the field so that they could learn the program, the product, easily and quickly, and be able to sell the benefits to your prospects. Is that right, Mr. Prospect? See, again, you're reiterating, you're telling them again the benefit they're going to get by being with you. And we just have to think of it like we're working with our children. We want to be patient, and we have to tell them again and again the benefit they're going to get from doing what we ask them to do. Now, I know you don't have children, but I've had a couple, and I understand this process.
Well, I work with a lot of clients that remind me of children sometimes, or non-clients that remind me of children.
Not your clients. Your clients
my clients are amazing. My clients are perfect. No complaints.
They are fun.
But I do have a lot of fun clients. But I do work with a lot of people that you do have to reiterate. And let's be totally honest. People have had to reiterate stuff to me, too. This is not I'm above the rest here. It's just life. We don't always hear things right the first time. Sometimes we're so caught up in what we're thinking, in the idea we have in our head, that we don't hear the other side of the story. The prospect is so caught up thinking, OMG, last time we tried to launch a product mid-heavy season, it nearly crashed our heavy season. We had the worst sales ever, and he's thinking about this terrible experience he had last time, and so he didn't even hear everything you offered to help allay that doubt. Unless you let him get that out to you, that's all he's going to think.
And plus, when you say it again, they're hearing it with a totally different set of ears. It's a whole different, it's a new place in the sales process, because you've already taken them through probably a couple of objections that they've had. So you're just getting them to hear again what they're actually doing. And it can cause people to rethink. But we also need to, point number three, to concisely state, is the reason they're not taking action.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you want to let them know, hey, look, this is what I'm hearing you say. Did I understand it correctly? Because before you go into all sorts of objection handling techniques and what can I do to get you started today and do you understand how you're damaged, before you go into all these fancy little techniques, it's really important to make sure you're handling the right problem. Miscommunication is probably the number one source of arguments, fights, wars out there.
Right.
It's the number one source of pretty much everything, right? I would watch my siblings all the time. I love to learn by watching. And two of my siblings, like, they couldn't even be in the same room as each other without fighting for quite a stretch of time. And I would watch them, and one sibling would say something completely innocent, like, oh, wow, this is great cheese sauce. And the other sibling would just, oh, well, I knew it. You hated how I cooked my spaghetti. And just, that's not what was said. It was complete miscommunication. So that is the number one step. Before you go off on trying to solve their problems, make sure you understand and they understand that you understand what is going on. And then make sure – go ahead, sorry.
Oh, no, and at that point, again, use the language of silence to make sure that you've understood clearly and give them the opportunity to correct you if you've gotten it wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why not? What if you do have it wrong? Wouldn't you rather that they told you that and said, no, that's not what I'm worried about at all? Although that is something to think about, but that's not my reason for not moving. Wouldn't you rather they told you that before you went into a whole ton of thing and end up with egg on your face?
Precisely. Precisely. And then you want to conclude the statements back to them with probably one of the most powerful motivators of human behavior, and that would be the consequences of not taking action. You know, that's one of the benefits that we have to share with people. It's really popular on Twitter now, hashtag FOMO, fear of missing out. That's a big hashtag, that's a very real fear. And we want to bring that back to the client to make sure they really, really don't want to move forward, that they're willing to accept the consequences of not moving forward.
They did a study, actually. I was listening to reading a book on habits, and they did a study about they had three sets of people. They ran an online auction with them. One set of people they gave $15 and said, if you don't lose this money, I'll give you another $15 at the end of the hour. The next set of people, they said, hey, if you double the money, I'll give you another $15 at the end of the hour. The last set of people, they didn't give any instructions. Well, they found that the people who had a fear of losing the money, who were told, hey, I'm going to take it away from you. So the first group of people was told, if you lose any of this, I'm going to take it away from you at the end of the hour. And so the people who had that fear of missing out, of the money being taken away, bid only half as many times as everybody else.
Ooh.
People are afraid to miss out on something. People are afraid to have stuff taken away from them. You got to understand and make sure they understand what exactly they're signing up for by waiting, because they're making a sale. One way or another, there's a sale being made at this point in time.
Right.
And they're buying it or they're buying not buying it. So make sure they understand what exactly they're buying.
And absolutely. Now, we're not talking about strong-arming, twisting, arm-twisting, nothing like that. We're not talking about manipulation. We are simply talking about helping, you know, reiterating what the consequences are of them not taking action so that they know exactly what they're doing. Again, we're doing it with giving them a new set of ears to hear what they may not have heard earlier in the presentation, because maybe they were afraid of having to spend the money. And so,
yeah.
Again, this is just an opportunity for them to really understand the decision that they're moving forward with. They can still end up closing. I mean, they can still end up walking away from the sale, but you're doing your part to make sure they understand all the parameters, what their need is, how you were going to provide the solution, and the consequences they're going to possibly deal with if they don't move forward with the sale.
Right. And then once you've clearly and concisely made sure you guys are on the same page, now's the time to ask them, is there anything I could do to get you started today? Because you want to go back into the close. You've got to go back into the close. If you don't ask, what was the point in going through all of that if you're not going to ask them to get going again?
Yeah, but Stephanie, you know, we talked about this earlier. Do you really think that, do you think that's being a little pushy?
You know, I got to tell you guys something. There's a difference between pushy and being so impassioned by your product that you cannot stand the idea of anybody else not moving forward with it.
Mm.
And so you really, if you want to be good at sales, you have to get to that level. If
mm-hmm.
you want to be one of the top producers in sales, you need to find yourself a product that you are so freaking fired up about that you're talking about it. You, when you are that impassioned about your product, your service, trust me, when you look at them and say, is there anything I could do to get you going today, it's not going to come across as sales gimmicky. It's not going to come across as pushy. It's not going to come across as irritated. You've gotten to the bottom of their concern. Why not give them another chance to move forward? But I will tell you this, if you don't believe in your product, if you don't believe in your service, if you don't believe in what you're offering, and you try asking them that little phrase right there, what could I do to get you move forward with this today, they're going to kick you out. They're going to see right through you. They're going to say, this is a pushy sales rep. And you don't. There's a difference between pushy and persuasive. There's a difference between pushy and passionate.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And people will know if you're being genuine or you're just trying to make a sale. I mean, the object of this is that we've invested time with these people and we've invested in really helping them. So it's not about us being pushy. It's all about us being compassionate and caring and really wanting the best for the customer.
Uh-huh.
Well, actually, Stephanie, I wanted to take just a minute to encourage people who are living in San Antonio or in Del Rio to come to a couple of local events. So why don't you share briefly how people could possibly sign up for your event in May?
So I have if you have been listening to us for a little while, or even just this is your first one, and you are sitting here going, we really, really want the chance to get this, you know, all of the sales training knowledge in a short span of time. Mom and I are teaming up on May 13th and 14th to run a two-day sales training seminar. And this is a seminar that it was based in a 90-day program, and I kind of looked at it and said, you know, I don't know about you, but I really am kind of a get-in, get-out, get-back-on-the-road type of person, so I don't want to spend 90 days learning this stuff. Why can't I just learn it in 2 days, take it all, and go out and be a sales freaking champion the next day? So I took this 90-day program, crammed it into 2 days, and on May 13th and 14th, we're going to walk you through it together. So if you are interested in getting some more information about that, reach out to either myself or Mom. You can grab us in the Facebook group at www.facebook.com/groups/blackbeltselling. You can also catch me at Stephanie at stephanieschellar.com. Or you can email Mom at annajoescheller@gmail.com. Reach out to us and get some more information. There is early bird pricing available. We would love to have you at this two-day seminar. This is a transformative weekend. Business relationships are forged, networking opportunities are created, and you learn the sales skills you need to make as much or as little money as you want to make for the rest of your life. At this point in time, we have 9 seats left. That's only 9. I guarantee of those 9, at least 7 will be sold by the end of April. So do not wait. Reach out to us quickly and get that information so we can help you reserve your seat.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I am having a local event in Del Rio. It's called a Listen Party. And if you want more information about that, please do reach out to me on the Facebook group. But I want to get back to the good stuff, which is, what do we do when the buyer really means it? No. So let's quickly go over the points. The first point is to concisely state what the customer's issues are, what your company's solution is, the reason the buyer's not taking action, and the consequences of not taking action. And then asking again, if you can get them started, what you could do to get them started today. And then be quiet, because you just closed them again. Now, point number 3 is they may not move forward. We're talking about when they're not going to say yes. You want to assure your buyer that you are always there to help them, even if it isn't today.
Uh-huh. I've heard of deals going through a year or 2 years after the initial presentation.
Wow.
You need to make sure you keep the lines open, because if you walk away from them and say, oh, well, that sucked, I'm never going to get that deal, and
yep,
you never reach it, this is why we teach you to follow up, follow up, follow up till they buy or die. Because if you walk away from that, you're going, man, I'm never going to get that deal. Oh, this sucks. Well, screw that. Then
mm-hmm.
Guess what? you're never going to get that deal, and that sucks, well, sorry. You've got to let them know, look, I'm here for you. I'm not just, you know, we don't teach you to just be in this for the money. We always tell you to care more about your client than your commission. And so, or your customer than your commission, you know, whichever term you decide you want to use. But regardless, you let them know, I'm here for you. You know, your client, think about it this way. Your client really is anybody out there. Your client today may not include everybody, but what about tomorrow? If you let them know, I'm here for you. You let me know how I can help you. Even if you're not interested in buying this today, know that I will be your solution down the road as well.
Yes, yes. And the key is that if you've built enough rapport and you've really, really focused on your client, they will believe you. And you know what? You don't know if the following week something's going to fall through the cracks. And because you kept that line open, because you assured them that they were valuable to you, whether or not they bought that day or not, you'll be the first person they call. You will, and you know, and you reach back out to them, and you let them know that you've got, you know, you send them things of value related to the situation, not promoting yourself, but really trying to help the client. I can't tell you how many people have come back to me and said, you're the best, Anna, and as soon as we have another need, we're going to be calling you. You know, maybe they turned me down, but they always come back, and it's because we've learned how to maintain rapport even when the sale didn't happen. Okay. Now, point number four is extremely important. Point number four is know that you've done your best. Mm-hmm. Know you've done your best. A failed sale or a non-sale doesn't mean a no sale. Mm-hmm. Now, if you can, you want to have some kind of follow-up situation going on. So if they say, not right now, no problem. Try to make a follow-up appointment with them. Try to make a time when you can reach back out to them. And if they're vague, say, no problem. Would it be okay if I shot you an email in a week or so? Most people, when they tell you no, they're really not. Now they're feeling bad, and they'll accept. They'll accept your goodwill to stay in touch with them. But you've got to not allow the no to keep you from moving forward to the next step, which is to stay in touch. And you can also feel good about yourself that you're doing the very best you can. And even if you have more to learn, Stephanie, even if somebody has more to learn, do you think they still can pat themselves on the back for doing their best?
Absolutely. Why, you know, I always tell my Taekwondo students, and, you know, this is black belt selling. I'll tell you guys the same thing. All I ask from you is that you don't have to be perfect. You may have been told how to do it perfectly, right? I don't show my kids how to do a forward stance wrong. They just don't do it perfect. I don't ask them to do it perfect. I just ask them to do their best. And if you did the best you could in that moment, in that situation, you can be proud of yourself for what you've accomplished.
Positively. I mean, we as black belts, we understand that we don't know everything, we don't do everything perfect, but we do the best we can. And if we're giving it our very best, then we can walk away with that satisfaction of knowing we did give our very best. Stephanie, why don't you share the very last point? Because it's not over.
The very last point is once you're done with that, move on to the next sale. There is always another sale. There are more leads than you can possibly service. There are more appointments than you can possibly run. Move on. They said no. All right, great. No means next opportunity.
Oh, I love it. Next opportunity. Ooh, that's fabulous. I like that. I really like that.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's a great reminder. It really is that it's not over, and it doesn't have to be over, and you don't have to sit there and tell yourself that because you screwed up, you're a failure and you're done in sales. No just means next opportunity. That's all. Stop stressing yourself out. So real quick, quickly recap. I know we're pretty much out of time here. So number one, when a customer says no, the first thing you got to say is make sure you concisely state their wishes, their issues, and the solution that you've offered to them. Once you've done that, then Once you've concisely stated it, stated the consequence of not taking actions, ask them again, what can I do to get you started? If they're still not going to bite, then make sure they know you are always there to help them out. Know in your own heart, know that you did your best, and close the next sale. Move on. Next opportunity. A black belt never gives up. A black belt never quits. A black belt embodies the indomitable spirit of always looking for the next solution. You can too. Bring that to your sales this week. Anything you wanted to say to our listeners just real quick, Mom?
Well, I hope these last two episodes have really been helpful for you, because I know that the fear of no is probably one of the biggest problems that most salespeople have. And we just want to encourage you to reach out to us. If you're going to be in San Antonio, we would love to see you at our two-day event. That would be so much fun. We could have such a blast together. But even if not, reach out to us. Talk to us. Contact us through the Facebook group. Contact us through our websites. And annascheller.com should be live by the end of April, so I'm very excited about that. We want to help you. That's why we're doing this. And we want to have fun, which is also why we're doing this, because helping you is fun for all of us. And so we're really grateful that you join us every single week. I know we have some very faithful listeners who listen to us, and we get your comments in the Facebook group, and we love it. And we love you, and we're really, really happy to be of service to you. So, Stephanie, why don't you end with our signature ending?
Well, thank you guys so much for joining us once again. You guys make this possible. Join us in the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/blackbeltselling. We look forward to hearing your comments, your feedback, having a conversation with you, because you give us the reasons to keep doing this every single week. Thank you so much. I'm Stephanie, here for Anna, and this is Black Belt Selling. We are the Black Belt Sellers of Southwest and Central Texas. Make it a great week.